supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
Today, Friday, is the 10th of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen verse 173 of chapter An-Nisa, then we come back and learn more about this.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. فأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيوفيهم أجورهم ويزيدهم من فضله وأما الذين استنكفوا واستكبروا فيعذبهم عذابا أليما ولا يجدون لهم ولا يجدون لهم من دون الله وليا ولا نصيرا.
And as for those who believed and did righteous deeds, He will give them in full their rewards and grant them extra from His bounty. But as for those who disdained and were arrogant, He will punish them with a painful punishment, and they will not find for themselves besides Allah any protector or helper.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Faith stands first and then there comes forth good deed. Yet they are both together, deeds without faith and faith without deeds, do not cause felicity and heaven for you. If you wish to be godly, pay the complete wage to the workers who work for you and even with a little more. Without having true faith and righteous deeds, you must not expect any intercession from the prophets.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Warta darbi, shukran.
شكرًا يا ربي شكرًا هديت قلبي شكرًا نورت دربي شكرًا شكرًا يا ربي يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرًا يا.
The topic is What After Ramadan. Throughout Ramadan, by Allah's favor, we tasted the sweetness of fasting and the night prayer. We revived our deed hearts with the recitation of the Holy Quran and dhikr of Allah. We basked in the serenity of talking to Allah and felt the peace of seeking His forgiveness in the last parts of the night. Now the Ramadan is over. Let us ask ourselves, what next? What did we gain from Ramadan? How did it change us? Did it transform our lives? Will our life post-Ramadan look exactly the same as the life pre-Ramadan? Just a short while ago, we were planning for the dream project of Ramadan. Now that Ramadan has ended, we should spend time in the month of Shawwal to evaluate our Ramadan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host from IR English Radio. We hope you join us, inshallah, and stay tuned till the end of this show. Today, we are going to talk about the strategies for preserving the spiritual effects of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, throughout the year. To keep the effects of the blessed month of Ramadan, not only until the next Ramadan, but as a spiritual asset forever, one must maintain his connection with this month. Maintaining his connection is not possible without doing the same actions that were done during the holy month of Ramadan. One should not break his connection with the Holy Quran. So being in touch with the Holy Quran, reciting some verses of the Holy Quran in a daily basis, at least 50 verses of the Holy Quran in a day. It's true that most of us have recited almost one juz of the Holy Quran, 1/30th part of the Holy Quran in the holy month of Ramadan. But after Ramadan, at least 50 verses of the Holy Quran are needed to be recited in a daily basis. Those who want to keep this connection, they have to recite the Quran daily. To fast on some specific days, fasting that we refer to also, to stay awake at night and perform tahajjud, to recite and perform the Salatul Layl, and continue doing so, even if it's a little. In narrations, there is emphasis on this matter. It is narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam that one should fast for 3 days, which is equivalent to fasting for one lifetime. see the importance. Regarding the continuity of Quran recitation, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam quoted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as saying, whoever recites 10 verses of the Holy Quran in one night will not be among the negligent. And whoever recites 50 verses will be considered among the people of remembrance. And whoever recites 100 verses will be considered among the people of obedience.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every
Dear brothers and sisters, today in this part we have a tip on keeping Ramadan spirits alive, and that is getting a friend to help. What are friends for anyway? If you've got a close friend you feel you can share your new habit with, let them join you in keeping up with it and keeping tabs on you while they are at it. Till will not only encourage you, but inshallah, I'll depend your brother or sisterhood as well. Alternatively, look for groups where you can maintain the habit. If, for instance, you memorize Quran regularly in Ramadan and want to keep the habit, join an Islamic study circle focused on memorization.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights. It shows me right from wrong in life, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
The journey continues. Our journey to Allah does not end with Ramadan. Our journey of knowing Him, of fasting, the sweetness of worshipping Him, of living a life of ubudiyyah, that means servitude, does not end with Ramadan. There are some people who strive hard in Ramadan, but when it ends, they stop. How evil are these people? They only know the right of Allah in Ramadan. Indeed, the pious person is the one who worship and strive hard throughout the entire year. As we journey on the straight path to Allah, we should always ask Him for istiqamah, that is steadfastness and staying firm. The Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, was asked, advise me with something that I could hold unto. He replied, say, my Lord is Allah, then remain steadfast on it.
And last but not least, how can we actually further strengthen our taqwa? Taqwa, as the Quran shows us, is not something that we get to and then we're done. You know, it's not like, for example, certain acts within the religion, you say, okay, I finished it and now I'm done. I don't have to do it again. Hajj, we know, is once in a lifetime. Hajjatul Islam, that hajj which becomes wajib on us, it's once in a lifetime. And once you've done it, that's it. You don't have to do another hajj again. If you can, it's obviously highly advisable, highly recommended, but those are now mustahab hajj. It's no longer wajib on you. But many other things in Islam, there is no limit to how far you can go. You know, knowledge, there's no limit. You'll see people will go for multiple, you know, degrees at university. People will get, you know, multiple, they'll go into multiple, you know, levels of discipline of study. Islam shows taqwa. Islam shows us that taqwa is like that. It's like a ladder that you can continuously go up the ladder of taqwa. And how do we strengthen that taqwa? Whatever we've developed over this last month of Ramadan, our scholars of akhlaq give us four tips at least that we can try to work through to further maintain that taqwa and build upon it and deliver and continue to build upon it until the deliverance of the next month of Ramadan. One is that we should study to become better acquainted with our religion. You know, learning about Islam doesn't finish when you're 15 years old and you graduate from madrasa. Learning of Islam, it's a lifelong discipline. Right? You look at our maraja taqlid, our scholars who are 80, 90, 100 years old today, and they still are learning. And you'll see this when they even give fatwas, that they'll even change the rulings from one year to another because they've come across other evidence. They've done more research on a particular issue. And so when you see grand maraja who are in their 80s or 90s who continue to study and teach, and they release new rulings and give better clarity on previous rulings, we see that we're never too old to learn, never too old to study. And so one of the things that we can do to further strengthen our taqwa outside of Ramadan is to continually see study.
Thank you for listening to this episode of today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ya Rahman, Ya Razzaq, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Qahhar, Ya Wahhab, Ya Tawwab. Ya Rahim, Ya Aziz, Ya Sami', Ya Basir, Ya Latif, Ya Khabir. حليم يا عظيم يا كبير يا حفيظ يا وكيل يا قوي يا متين.
Take pieces of bread from me and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure.
This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My brothers and sisters, as we are truly followers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and truly followers of Quran and truly followers of Prophet Muhammad, according to his guidance and his orders and hadith saqalain and hadith qadir, we have to follow Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, and we have to seriously follow Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Otherwise we are going to be in trouble. We can't say a certain part of my life I follow Ahlul Bayt, but the rest I do not follow Ahlul Bayt. I follow science, I follow political parties, I follow universities, I follow this and that. No. Either you follow Ahlul Bayt in whole, in complete, or it's like you don't follow them. There's a very, very beautiful hadith narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, Abbas ibn Ma'ruf and Hamad ibn Isa and Rabi'i and Fuzail ibn Yasar. Fuzail ibn Yasar said, I heard myself, Imam was saying that, what was Imam saying? Samiutu Abba Jafar yaqul, kullama lam yakhruj min hadhal bayt, fahuwa batil. Everything which is not came out from this home is completely void. So Imam is saying, everything is coming out from this home of Ahlul Bayt. That is correct and true. You have tried to follow and you have to follow it. But everything which is not came out from this home, let's say it's very popular. People like it, this sentence, this job, this value, this condition, this situation, this culture, which is not coming from the home of Ahlul Bayt, from the guidance of Ahlul Bayt, is certainly void. It's wabatil kullama. كُلَّمَا لَمْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلْ. Everything is not coming from this home, from teachings of Ahlul Bayt, is definitely batil. There's another beautiful hadith in this regard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, where he says, الْعِلْمُ دِينٌ وَالصَّلَاةُ دِينٌ. First thing he said, your knowledge is your religion, your faith. No, not faith, your knowledge. Al-ilm, basically ilm in Arabic is not knowledge. Ilm in Arabic is your understanding, is a power of your comprehending, your which is called kind of shu'ur. Al-ilmu dinun, your understanding of religion, your knowledge of your religion, your what you understand from your religion, that type of thing. Al-ilmu dinun, ilm is your religion. And then Rasulullah said, as-salatu dinun, your prayer is your religion. So first he said, your knowledge is your religion. Your knowledge is your religion, and then your prayers is your religion. فَانْذُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ. Be very careful, watch carefully from who you're learning your knowledge, from who you're getting your knowledge. So you cannot learn from everybody. You cannot learn things from just like from everybody. No. Make sure, who is your teacher? Who is your guide? Who is providing you? Who is providing you this type of guidance? In another hadith, Amir al-Mu'minin salamullah alayhi says, لا يؤخذ العلم إلا من أربابه. Do not learn anything except from those who own the knowledge. Who own the knowledge? Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah said, Imam Ali says, Rasulullah said, أنا مدينة العلم وعليٌ بابها. I am the city of knowledge, and Ali is the door of knowledge. So if you want to know anything, if you want to learn anything, if you want to get the guidance, go through Ahlul Bayt into the heart of Rasulullah. Go through teachings of or guidance of Ahlul Bayt into the city of knowledge, which is Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 58 of Surah An-Nisa on page 87. So brothers and sisters, the same as Fawad Haider and Ali Nasser, open your Quran, turn to page 87, Ayah what?
58.
Let's listen everybody to the recitation first.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha wa idha hakamtum bainan nas an tahkumu bil 'adl inna Allah ni'ma ya'idukum bih. إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا.
ما شاء الله. Nice recitation. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. A very, very important point here, Allah Almighty says. And that's it. That's about delivering the trusts of people to themselves, okay? To the owners. The amanat, okay? And also about... like judgment, Allah Almighty talks something, says something important. So let's see what Allah Almighty says then. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Let me recite it once. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَى أَهْلِهَا أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا.
Very important points here. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ O Muslims, indeed, O Muslims, because Allah Almighty talks to the Muslims. Yeah, it's not mentioned here, but totally Allah Almighty is mentioning the rules. Or even here, Allah Almighty talks in general, okay? In general. So indeed, Allah commands you to deliver the trusts, the amanat, okay? إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا to their rightful owners. Alright? وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ and when you judge between people أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ Allah Almighty commands you to what? To judge with fairness. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ Excellent indeed is what Allah advises you. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا Indeed, Allah is all-hearing and
all-seeing.
All-seeing. So the very important point. One of the like the name, the titles of our Prophet, Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was what was al-amin, the trustworthy. Trustworthy. Even the, like Muslims were like leaving their trusts, okay, their properties before Prophet, and Prophet was a like keeping them for the friends and the other Muslims, okay. And even non-Muslims, the mushrikeen, the enemies of the Prophet, because Prophet was well known as a trustworthy person, okay, trustworthy person, okay. So the enemies would leave their properties before the Prophet, and Prophet was like keeping them safely, okay. And when the Prophet left in Laylatul Mabit, okay, in the night of the night that Prophet left the Mecca towards Medina, okay, Imam Ali alayhi salam slept in his bed. Yes, that day, that night, Prophet told Imam Ali alayhi salam that you stay here, okay, and I have some trusts from the people, okay, you have to deliver to them back, okay. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam delivered them, and he saw that, yeah, some trusts are from the enemies, those who are plotting against the Prophet, those who are planning to kill the Prophet. Prophet had trust from them, and Prophet never what? Wronged to them. Even you should be that much trustworthy, okay, that your enemies should be able to put something as a trust in front, before you, okay? And you should keep it. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ, this is أمر من عند الله, from Allah Almighty, أن تؤدُّ الأمانات إلى أهلها. It could be many things. It's not only about properties. Look, a teacher, for example, me, I really have to be careful about my job, okay? Because, for example, the students are the trusts, the amanat of their parents. Look, my teacher was telling me this important point. I loved this point, okay? He was always telling me that, Mr. Fasih, if you, okay, go and teach somewhere, you should be very much careful that these kids, the kids that they come and learn Quran from you, they come and learn Islamic studies from you, okay? They are the amanat from Lady Zahra and Imam Ali alayhi salam. They are the Shia of Ali. They are the followers of the Prophet. You should be very careful. Okay? You should be very careful of what you teach them, how you behave with them. And he told me that your intention must be this, that whenever you go, you say, oh Allah Almighty, I'm going to help, okay, your slaves, your, okay, slaves, and also the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So please help me.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
ربنا ما خلقت هذا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
That's all, guys. Time is running out. We have to go to the Tajweed rules. But yeah, that was the points that we mentioned, okay? Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, learn more about them. Brothers and sisters, it's time to mention some points, Tajweed points, and then practice the recitation. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ. The first one is about the pronunciation of the word Allah. It's pronounced heavily if there is a fatha or a dhamma sound right before. إِنَّ has a fatha, Allah, so there is a fatha before Allah, pronounce it heavily. Yes, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Inna Allaha ya'murukum an tu'addu. Hide the sound of noon sakin here in this word. An tu'addu al-amanat.
Skip
the waw, skip hamzatul was. Tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ أَهَا ميم ساكن plus ba hide the sound of
ميم
حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُ أَن نون ساكن plus ta إخفاء hide the sound of نون here as well بالعدل جيم says it's okay if you stop or continue
قلقلة
yeah عدل ما شاء الله قلقلة دال on the dal bouncing sound عدل عدل إن الله نعم ميم مشدد نون مشدد you should prolong it for two counts the sound okay and a nasal sound also يعظكم به يعظكم به ميم ساكن plus با the same as حكمتم بين الناس hide the sound of ميم يعظكم به قيلا tells you
It's better to stop.
So stop here. It's better. Inna Allah kana sami'an basira.
Iqlab.
Change the sound of tanween here to a hidden meme sound. Sami'an basira. That's all. So, these points are important, okay? Now we will practice the recitation. Fawad and Ali Nasir. Repeat after me.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس
إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس
أحسن بين الناس
وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل
وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل
إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به
إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به
أحسنتم
إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا
إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
ما شاء الله الله bless you إن شاء الله That's all for today. Brothers and sisters, stay with IRIB English Radio, inshallah. Thank you so much, Fawad and Ali Nasir. Thanks for being with us today. Inshallah, we'll be here with you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه
لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
يا The last savior
Oh the savior of mankind please show us a sign
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, The Last Savior. We are going to talk about the Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Today, dear scholar, Brother Ali is our guest. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Imam al-Mahdi ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Is going to come and is going to save the world. But the main question is that, is he going to do this through a miracle or something else is going to happen?
First of all, I'd like to thank you for your mighty meteor show. We want to say that humanity is still waiting for the radiant sun to rise, and it won't be long before this moment of anticipation comes to an end. The sweet scent of his advent makes human life into spring and brings greenery, prosperity, and freshness and vitality to mankind. When Imam alayhi salam comes, he will transform the world's political orders, world political system and governance.
Towards justice, of course.
Definitely. We said earlier that the establishment of justice was the mission of all the divine prophets and messengers of Allah. All from day one, they came to establish justice. If there were some obstacles, inshallah, all the obstacles will be removed by this holy existence, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. He will uproot oppression, arrogance and disbelief, polytheism and hypocrisy from the scene of the earth. He will establish the Muhammadan Islam, the thing that was missing, this important element that was missing in the course of history. And it was the missed element of human being and earth, and through the world this Muhammad Islam will be spread, and he will bring prosperity to all under the banner of monotheism, at-tawheed.
But how is it going to happen?
Definitely all these things is not going to happen with a miracle. Through a skillful and professional cadre, and he will establish global security, transform global economy, and he will remain on earth except that it becomes verdant and prosperous with goodness and blessings, and these blessings will be flowing everywhere. So, as I told you, this whole system cannot happen overnight. This transformation actually requires a very detailed program and plan, and yes, everything is already there at the hand. As Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the person who is going to be companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam is the true victorious and the true winner in the world, and he is among the real winners, that the prosperous people who will be accompanying Imam Ali alayhi salam.
So, and he must have some specific characteristics, of course.
Definitely, there are some specific characteristics for these followers, or let's say companions of Imam alayhi salam.
Well, dear brother, how many are these companions of Imam alayhi salam?
That's a good question. Look, the companions of Imam are of three categories, three classes. The first class, or the first group, are the special commanders of the Imam's army. That is, uh-huh, there are almost 313 people as the number of the companions of the Holy Prophet in the Battle of Badr.
That is popular, actually.
Definitely, this number is popular. Also, the number of the army of Talut, alayhi salam, when he...
Who fought with Jalut.
Fought with Jalut, yeah, at the time of Prophet Dawood and in the last nations, in the past nations.
So this number is repeated through history.
Definitely, there must be a mystery behind this number, and definitely this number is very important. So the number of the specific, or let's say, commanders of the army of the Imam are 313.
Mm-hmm.
And when the advent of Imam comes and their appearance is going to happen, these people in no time will reach to Mecca. That is, they will be present in Mecca, and without their presence, the appearance will not happen. So Imam mm-hmm. is waiting for this collection, for this team to be ready and to come up.
Just before their appearance, you mean these 313 people will be gathered in Mecca?
I mean the days before the appearance of Imam, they will be gathered and Imam alayhi salam will announce his reappearance, inshallah, in the Masjid al-Haram, in the Holy Masjid al-Haram.
Mm-hmm.
The second group, or the second class of companions of Imam, are the ones who are known to come to help these commanders that we have already talked about. That is, there are almost 10 to 12,000 people. And when this circle also is completed, the movement will start. So their appearance starts with 313, but the movement, the pricing itself, will start after gathering of this 10 to 12,000 under the leadership of those 313 people.
Do they know that they are going to be the companions of Imam? Or
those,
is it clear, actually?
Those who are going to be among these 313, they know that they are elected.
The second class, I mean.
The second class. There is actually nothing in the narrations to know that if they know everything about this. But for the first class, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually blessed them with this knowledge to be among the special group. And Allah will actually equip them with this knowledge to be among the special companions of Imam alayhi salam. And also, this equipment is not only in knowledge itself, but also in the power. Each of them equals 40 powerful men to combat with the enemies and to fight.
So this is one of the characteristics that we talked about before.
Definitely.
Let's take a break, and then we're going to continue our discussion.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain.
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program The Last Savior with dear scholar brother Ali. And we're talking about the characteristics and the numbers of the of different classes of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. We talked about the first group, which was actually 313 people who know that they are among the main companions of Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, and the second class, which was about 10 to 12,000 people. And now we are going to talk about the third class of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi.
The third group, or the third class of the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, are the believers who have been gathering from different parts of the world, and they actually are added moment by moment. I mean, those who hear, or those who agree with the message or with the mission of Imam alayhi salam, will slowly actually join the army of Imam, and there is no limit for this third group of
Can we say the third group is at the bottom of the pyramid?
Yeah, definitely.
Of the commandership, maybe?
Yeah, that's true. Because so the management, the leadership would be with those 300-something, and that second are among the, again, 10 to 12,000 are among the well-known and clever ones. But the third are those who, after their appearance, slowly and moment by moment, are added to
the army
of Imam alayhi salam.
Dear brother, now that we know that there are three
classes of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi, Jalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, may Allah hasten his reappearance. Let's talk about their nationalities.
Okay, so the question is about the nature of the special companions of Imam. Imam Jawad alayhi salam narrates from his father and from his forefathers that with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam there is a sealed scripture in which the names of his companions are written along with their attributes, cities, decorations and nicknames, and their facial expressions. The number of special companions, as mentioned, when we talked about, is 313, equal to the number of companions of Badr. This is a narration from Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Equals again to number of Talut's companions. When he rises up, they will gather around him. Again, he continues and says that Allah will gather these individuals from farthest cities of the world to assist him. That is, among them, there are some people from the nobles of Egypt, and also some of the virtuous people of Iraq, and some of the virtuous people of, or the substitutes, or Abdul of Sham, or Syria today. So different people from at least these three cities have been generally mentioned, that some people and some great...
And their nationalities, I think, are Arabs.
Huh? No. I mean, they can be from either, from any part of the world, but just, I mean, these are the cities that have been mentioned. I mean, we have received a report from. Uh-huh. But as we have heard earlier from Imam Jawad alayhi salam, they are even from the farthest parts of the world that they come and assist Imam.
That might be the West, actually.
Definitely, everywhere, every part of the world.
من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه مهديون في الأزمان شع ضيه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور آلق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه
Brother, as you said, three main Arab countries, or at least we can say that now they are Arab.
Yeah. Look, dear brother, this is a good question. What we received in this narration, in this hadith, that we just found a sort of cue that only three parts of the world have been mentioned. But let's look at this hadith at the time that it has been narrated. Look, in the Sham or Egypt or Iraq of that time actually was not just only the Arab part of the world. Look, even the Sham, I want to say that it's true that the Sham, the center of Sham,
is something like Syria
today,
right now.
Syria today, but it includes, for example, Palestine, it includes Lebanon and the neighboring countries as well. You see, and also when we are...
Far larger than that.
Yeah, far larger. Or when we're talking about Iraq, it includes also the lot of past Iraq, which actually included Iran today in itself, by itself. Mm. So it was not even a part of Iraq, or it was said in the language of narrations that it was a part of Iraq. So we want to say that when it is being said, it has been said that, for example, 50 of them are from Kufa. It does not necessarily mean that the Kufa now locating in the city of, or in this province of, in the Kufa, which is located in
Iraq right now.
Yeah, province in Iraq. So it includes, for example, that area or the neighboring area as well. So I want to say that when we are talking about the numbers, as we have heard and as we have received the narration from Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, they are from different parts of the world that they can join. And some cities just, I mean, the area, the whole area was mentioned. I mean, this area, just if we want to compare it to the map of today, actually it covers a huge area that
of the world.
A part of the, for example, when we are talking about the Egypt, it means the North Africa is covered there. So when we are talking about Iraq, this area, I mean, today that we are talking about, for example, the whole Iran and Iraq and the neighboring country also can be also included here, or Afghanistan as well.
Thank you, dear brother.
You're welcome
for your actually interesting information. Dear audience, now the time is up and we have to finish this program. If you want to listen to our program, you can visit our website, that is parstoday that's IR. We hope that, inshallah, all of us can be among the companions of Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. May Allah hasten his reappearance.
Inshallah.
Until next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest glow?
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You are listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be examining a question which is related to one of the very detestable characteristics, and that characteristic is israf, or wastefulness. As you know, wastefulness or israf is one of those bad qualities and habits and actions that unfortunately a lot of us are afflicted with. Nobody can say that they're they've never wasted something or become wasteful or have done israf. The question we want to address today regarding this topic is, what are the characteristics of a wasteful person? Because some people say, I don't do israf, I'm not, wasting anything, by doing this or that. So we need to kind of delineate and demarcate actually the parameters of what wastefulness is and what a wasteful person, what are his features and his distinctions. But before we get to that, just by way of just for the sake of knowledge, let's look at what the Holy Quran says about wastefulness. In one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following: O children of Adam, put on your adornment on every occasion of prayer and eat and drink, but do not waste. Indeed, Allah does not like the wasteful. Right. So, this is about the reprehensibility of wastefulness. Imam Ali also has said the following: wasting leads to stagnation of wealth, whereas thriftiness causes it to thrive. So, not only is wastefulness a sin and has otherworldly punishment and repercussions, it also has worldly effects and economic consequences. It leads to poverty, in fact. Right, so let's get to our main question now related to wastefulness. That question is this: what are the characteristics of a wasteful person? Fortunately, we have a blessed prophetic hadith narrated from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this hadith, the Prophet he